Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Are you planning your lovely summer vacation? You're going to fly to some exotic destination? Well, which airline are you going to choose? And let me tell you something. There is a big difference in service, comfort, economy, all kinds of things. And to give us the lowdown is Jill Gonzalez. She's joining us today. She is an analyst from Wallet Hub. And they've recently done a study discovering for us what kind of information we really need to make our flight more friendly. Jill, this is really a fascinating study, and you all took a look at a lot of those things that I just mentioned. Were there any standout things that you all found in the study?
A couple, yeah. I mean, we know how easy it is to compare airlines solely based on price. A lot of people do that now. But it's much more difficult to really weigh your options when it comes to the other aspects of your travel experience, as you mentioned, things like comfort, things like cost, when it comes down to really points as well, how much they charge for drinks, things like that. I mean, really no transparency when it comes to airplanes until you're actually on the flight itself.
Yeah. Well, you all are taking some of the work out of us. Now, you did a lot of this through government information. And how did you conduct a study? How was it framed?
Sure. So we used mainly government data to analyze the 10 largest U.S. airlines, as well as three regional carriers. And then we did that across 13 different metrics. So those include cancellations, delays, complaints, in-flight comfort, even which airlines are nicest to your pets. So again, really looking at a lot of things here.
Okay. Now, where can people find this information? Because there's a lot of information that you have. You've got charts and everything else that I saw. Is it at wallethub.com?
It is, yes. wallethub.com/edu. That's kind of our education and statistics center. So that's why you will find this exact study.
Okay. The EDU, which means education, right? You're going
right.
to educate us. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the findings. In my looking at this, it seems to me that JetBlue was one of the standout airlines. Is that true?
Yeah, it was. So the best of the best, the top three, were actually Virgin America, JetBlue, and Alaska Airlines. But keep in mind, Alaska is actually acquiring Virgin America very soon. So
Oh, wow. It'll be...
Mm-hmm. Those and JetBlue, neck and neck.
Mm-hmm. And I've actually flown. I travel a good bit. I've flown on all three of those airlines and had very good experiences with all of them. So, yeah. And you know, each of them has something a little bit unique. I really wasn't aware that Virgin Air America was going to be bought by Alaska. You're not talking about the Virgin International. You're talking about the domestic version of Virgin America, right?
Correct. Virgin America.
Okay. And it's going to be purchased by Alaska Airlines. Well, I don't think that says anything bad for consumers and travelers. But at any rate, you found, and then who was on the bottom?
Yes, on the bottom, we have ExpressJet, American Airlines, and United overall at the very bottom.
Wow. And now, what were some of the things that contributed to them getting the worst ratings?
Well, really a lot of things. And when we're looking at comfort, that's where this comes into play. When we're looking at really customer satisfaction, mm-hmm. consumer complaint rate, very high for both United and American Airlines.
Oh, wow. Is that right? And they used to be our sterling carriers. And that's an interesting development. Okay. So overall, Virgin America, going to be part of Alaskan Airlines, which is one of the top rated, and JetBlue. So those are the best airlines if you want a really great consumer experience. Now, let's talk about some of the things. You mentioned comfort. One of the things that I have found on airplanes, the seats get smaller all the time. I'm not getting any taller, but boy, those seats are getting closer together. And I know that if you're going on a trip across the country and the seat in front of you is reclined right in your face, that can be a miserable 5.5-6 hours. So how does the consumer go about finding the best seats, the most comfortable? JetBlue, I gather, is right up at the top.
It is. JetBlue actually got a 10 out of 10 here.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty impressive. They were by far the most comfortable in-flight experience. And that isn't just, you know, how big the seats are, how much leg room you have, although we certainly did look into that. But things like entertainment options, the Wi-Fi availability, complimentary refreshments, all of those things really add on to your comfort experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that JetBlue really had top marks for across the board. I mean, some of these airlines now, Spirit and Frontier mainly, who came both with 0 out of 10 points, because they make you, I mean, yes, it is probably more economical to fly if you really are expecting no bells and whistles. I mean, if you even want a couple inches more legroom, you'll have to pay for it,
mm-hmm.
$6 to $10. If you want any type of in-flight beverage, Wi-Fi, entertainment, all of those, if they're even available, are going to come at a price. Even bringing in a checked bag or a carry-on bag is going to cost you money.
Well, it seems to me that carry-on bags are almost always costing us money these days, and checking the bag, that's another issue all over again. I mean, the airlines have been making a fortune on baggage fees, haven't they? I mean, wasn't that one of the ways they were paying for the high cost of gas, of fuel?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that most airlines here that we did take a look at, if you even get an economy or coach ticket, you'll still get one bag allowed on with you to carry on.
Okay.
Spirit and Frontier, though, that is not the case.
Okay. So people should be aware of that when they're computing the costs. You really need to ask, find out, look at the website, examine it, see what kind of extra fees you're going to have, such as the carry-on bag. I'm not sure what they define as a carry-on bag. I would hope that that's not a hand purse, a purse, a woman's purse. But who knows? I've had some people tell me that sometimes now counts as a bag. So I guess it depends on the size.
It does. Yeah, it depends on the size. Usually about a foot or so in length is the cutoff, maybe 10 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be aware of those things, because when you are, say you are really basing your search on price, you don't have any pets, you're not thinking about the comfort, maybe it's just a 1-2 hour flight,
mm-hmm.
and you need that price to be in check, you still have to be carrying some things with you. So if your base fare on one airline is actually going to be, you know, maybe $100 more,
mm-hmm.
after you're all said and done with the checked bags or the carry-on bag fees, then that's something that you should know beforehand, instead of, you know, really equating that to maybe a more expensive, more comfortable flight that all in all is going to end up costing you the same amount of money.
Yeah, yeah, yes. And that is. And is that information readily available to consumers, Jill, or do you have to really search for it?
A lot of times it's not readily available. You might be halfway through the check-in process, or at least the purchasing and booking process, and then you'll see all of the add-ons that you really don't have a choice in making.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't bought anything yet, but it's not very transparent and upfront at a lot of these airlines.
Is your website going to give that kind of information as well?
It is.
So okay.
We have detailed findings here. If you kind of scroll down through the study, for both the national airline scores, the regional airline scores, and line by line, you can see how their canceled flights are, if there's leg room, how they scored there out of 4 points, entertainment options, the
right.
same thing.
Right.
So, yeah,
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Gonzalez. She is an analyst with Wallet Hub. We're talking about a recent study which revealed which airlines are the most comfortable, most economical, you know, who's at the top of the list and who's at the bottom, which is also very important. And the website is wallethub.com/edu, and you can find the study there, and it will tell you all kinds of things, as Jill was just telling us. Now, I know people travel with pets. Is that an issue on most of these airlines? And most of them, you can take pets easily or not?
Actually, no. So 6 airlines tied for the top spot without any animal incidents. Alaska and United are actually the worst airlines to fly with a pet. So most airlines will let you bring a pet. Some charge a lot more than others, first of all. And some have really shady records when it comes to flying with pets. Delta Airlines in January actually had a healthy golden retriever die on board.
Oh, my goodness. And yet, on the other hand, Delta Airlines, I believe, came out as the most reliable in terms of less cancellations, delays, and less mishandled baggage. So I guess you have to weigh what's important to you. And if you have a pet, that's a very important thing to check. So anyway, but the most reliable and I guess your worst in terms of reliability were ExpressJet and what was the other one? Envoy Air.
Yes, ExpressJet and Envoy were the worst here. So again, like you said, that's cancellations, delays, mishandled luggage, denied boardings, where people who had a booking just suddenly did not when they went to board the plane.
Yeah.
So all of those things really do come into how reliable an airline is. This is one of the metrics that if you haven't had it happen to you, you're generally not worried about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've never had a delay, if you've never had lost luggage, you don't really care until, of course, it happens to you. And then you're probably never flying with that airline again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the most heavily seen consumer complaints on this list.
Are you finding that in terms of on-time arrivals and departures and arrivals, that airlines are pretty reliable now? I know that that at one point when the federal government started collecting all this data, some of these airlines were just horrible. And then they kind of changed their departure and arrival times and made them, the arrival times anyway, made it a little bit longer to make them look like they arrive on time. Are those statistics still available to consumers, and is this an industry problem anymore? It used to be.
Now, you're right. So it's not so much an airline problem as more of the times it is an airport problem.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're at one of these major hubs, Chicago, Atlanta, L.A., et cetera, that's usually when it's just hard to not run into a delay or a cancellation. So the airlines have cut down. Airports, I think, still definitely matter here. I mean, in terms of delays, we identified the number of each airline's flights that were delayed just by more than 15 minutes, and that excluded weather.
Okay.
So that's what we really looked at here because, you know, obviously weather, you can't do anything about. Security, also, you can't really do anything about. But for just one-off instances that a lot of these airlines used to see more of, that's what we were looking for.
Okay, so it's just lack of perhaps proper management on the airline part, not the weather. The weather that no one can control. So
exactly. Then any airline flying through Chicago, we'd have to dock. So we couldn't do that.
I've had my share of stories in O'Hare. But you know, it's a huge airport. So, you know, you can always expect occasionally that you'll have some issues. So what are some of the other things? Now, if consumers are planning a trip this summer, and they want to, you know, they want to get the best deal and so on. I recommend they go to wallethub.com/edu, take a look at this study. Beyond that, how do they go about getting the best fares? Are there any secrets, Jill?
Well, we're coming up on, of course, peak travel season, especially July. That's when we see airline tickets increase almost 300%. So, I mean, even if you're looking for July, you expect a bit of a hike. You know, maybe you have a wedding or something that really can't be moved. Expect a hike regardless, but you want to be looking for tickets now. The key time is around 52 to 54 days out to book.
Okay.
That's when you really want to have your eye out. A good tip is putting a price alert on flights. You can do that through Hopper.com, Hipmunk.com. Because then you can see exactly how the price is increasing, decreasing on certain days of the week, on you know how many times you're looking at it. It can even kind of track your cash and your cookies, so make sure that you're clearing away any of that as well on your internet browsers. I mean, there's really so many hidden tactics here, but 52 to 54 days out is usually when you want to book. Try for the fringe season, which is coming up. It's any time before Memorial Day or right after Labor Day.
Well, what about during the holiday season? Do you find that that's also around Thanksgiving time? That's a very busy travel season as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be very busy second to kind of the time around July because more people, you know, tend to have vacations, schools are out, et cetera. But that holiday season is of course, another time when you're going to be seeing a lot of just a lot of congestion, less so than in recent years. We did see, just because of the recent gas prices,
mm-hmm.
a lot more people are choosing to take a bit of a road trip to drive home, but you'll still see a spike in fares.
Okay. Now, what about how far out to book? You said 50-some days out. What if the fares change? What if there's a reduction in fares? Do you get that through the airline, or are you locked into that ticket price you paid?
It depends on the airline and how you booked. So a lot of us now book through Expedia, Hipmunk, Orbitz, etc. A lot of the times, that's going to be the fare that you have to pay, unless they do have what's called a price watch, a price guarantee, kind of a price match service,
mm-hmm.
then that would be your best bet. If you're booking directly through the airline, that's going to be pretty hit or miss. I would say more often than not, you're not going to be getting your extra money back.
Okay, so that you got to keep all those things into consideration. And, of course, what type of ticket you buy as to whether or not it's a, you know, you can't cancel it, you can't change it. And I guess the more flexibility you have, then the more you're going to end up paying for a ticket. Depends on what you and your travel schedule is like, I guess. Anyway, there's so many variables that go into it that, and I'm delighted to see your website that's doing such great information for consumers on this subject, because if I travel across the country, I want to get a little bit more info on that airline that I'm going to choose, and you are just going to help me. So let's just take a brief pause here, Jill, and let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Gonzalez. She is an analyst with Wallet Hub, and we're talking about their recent study on airlines and how well they perform in all kinds of consumer areas. So you need to check it out. The study is at wallethub.com/edu. So take a look. I think you'll find it very revealing, very interesting. Also tells you about fees that may be hidden fees, et cetera, et cetera. What to look out for. So anyway, going back to travel, which, you know, was just fun to even contemplate it. What about the baggage, the carry-on? We talked about carry-on luggage, and some airlines are charging a fee for you carry-on, even a small bag. What about the baggage fees themselves when you check it at the gate? Are they increasing? Are they decreasing? Is there any change?
We've seen them stabilize over the past 3 years or so. But before that, there was certainly a spike. So they used to be around $25, they were for about a decade or so. We're seeing them increase anywhere from $35 to $45. Of course, mm-hmm. that depends if you're checking it at the gate, if you're checking it and write that down when you're booking, if you check in early, not at the gate, kind of before you get there, and then decide to book. So it definitely depends when you're checking. If you think that you maybe are, you're maybe not, go ahead and put down that you are right when you're booking. That'll usually save you $10 to $15.
Oh, really? So that's that could make a big difference then in what you're ending up paying for that ticket, because it all adds up, doesn't it?
Especially, yeah, if you're going on a family vacation and you all want to check your bags, I mean, saving $10 to $15, this is per one way,
mm-hmm.
per head,
oh,
is
yeah,
definitely
that's
going to cut down.
Oh, that makes a big cut. Yeah, especially if you're traveling, say, a family of five. My gracious,
mm-hmm.
that's a significant amount of money. Okay, so what other fees do we need to look for? Is there anything else now? Our credit, I know that I've been reading that airlines now really do not want you to pay cash if you want to buy a drink or a meal on the airline. They want you to use a credit card. Is that becoming the common practice in the industry?
Yes, they want you to use a credit card, but more specifically, they want you to use their credit card.
Uh-uh.
Right? So this is now another perk that they've added to a lot of frequent flyer cards, to co-branded cards, because sometimes, or now often, what's being given as a lucrative reward system perk is that you can get a discount on those items, or you can get them for free when you use your card. So that is a kind of what they're going for now.
So they're encouraging you to have a United or a JetBlue or whatever credit card that you will use as tied into your rewards program, and you can use that as a credit card on the airlines and get perks.
Exactly. Or a lot of times, if they're not giving away a discount or free food, beverage, et cetera, mm-hmm. you might get double, triple the points on anything you do buy on board. And that includes Wi-Fi as well.
So that, my goodness, there's so much. You know, there's so many ways that you can save money or have to spend more money. And when you travel, it's just a little mind-boggling at times. You must have fun discovering all these things, Jill. I've got to know you do. And imparting information and making us better consumers and better travelers. So at any rate, are there other issues that consumers should be concerned with? I know that to me, it's really important that my luggage get there. So for me, I'm going to look at an airline, how well it treats luggage. Unfortunately, I've arrived in more than one place and not had my luggage. So that is a big, big issue. Do you find that's one of the big issues with consumers? Or what was the biggest issue of complaint? Could you tell that from your study?
Yeah, I mean, as far as complaints rates go, a lot of them are customer service issues. And then a lot of them are reliability issues,
mm-hmm.
things like canceled flights, delays, mishandled baggage reports.
Oh, yes.
So that is a lot of what we're seeing now. And, of course, every airline differs. When it comes to mishandled baggage, American did not score well. Southwest and United kind of tied here, too. So some of the bigger ones did not do well. Virgin, as we said before, JetBlue, and Delta did the best, specifically when it just comes to mishandled baggage reports.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So keep that in mind. You know, if you're going on a cruise and that luggage needs to get to you, you can be a little bit concerned about what's doing it. Any other tips for our would-be travelers? Well, first off, I'm going to give them a tip. If they're going international, make sure that your passport is valid 6 months beyond the return date of your vacation. Are you aware of that, Jill, that if it isn't, you may be denied admission to some foreign countries?
I had heard that, yeah. I guess it depends on the country, too.
It does. Some countries have a 3-month requirement. We had one Kofraction person a couple years ago. She was going to Egypt, and she got to the airport, and they would not let her board the airplane because her passport expired about 4 months or so after she returned home. Now, here she thinks she's got a valid passport, but as far as the Egyptians were concerned, they didn't. I don't know what their requirements are now, but I know that some countries require it to have at least 6 months. So we always tell consumers at Call for Action, we say to them, look, renew your passport 9 months before it expires. That way you don't have any issue. You have plenty of time to get it. If you're leaving on a trip, make sure that it's got 6 months or more beyond when you're returning. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is good advice because, if anything, those rules might have gotten a little bit more strict, especially over the past year or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and consumers need to make sure that they have a visa. And in some countries require you to have a certain number of blank pages in your visa area. So it's really amazing. State Department has a very good website that I recommend consumers use. Just go there and look up what the requirements are. What are the visa requirements? What are the passport requirements? What's the, you know, in terms of your expiration date? But I don't think that's commonly known, that expiration date can be so critical when you're traveling abroad. And even little kids now need passports. So a lot of issues there for travelers to be aware of. Anything else you want to tack on?
Yeah, I would say lastly, another thing to be aware of is what kind of credit card, co-branded or not, that you're using, whether it's a Visa, whether it's through a certain issuer like Capital One. A lot of them come with travel insurance that
mm-hmm.
you don't need to go out of your way to purchase.
Oh, yes.
Usually
great
have
idea.
It. Especially when it comes to cancellations or mishandled baggage. Sometimes you can get up to $500 just for a baggage delay.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Oh, that's neat to know. Is that information on your website as well?
It is, yes. Head to Wallet Hub, and we can say exactly which cards have what, especially when it comes to, again, travel insurance for cancellations. If it's delayed more than 6 hours, a certain flight, you can and should get money back for each one of those things.
Jill, you are always a wonderful source of information. We so appreciate your taking time to join us. Just to let our listeners know, they've been tuned in to Consuming Interest. My guest has been Jill Gonzalez, who's an analyst with Wallet Hub. The information is really great. It's wallethub.com/edu. Go visit and read it before you travel. I'm Shirley Rooker, and we thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.